We're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We've got some good reports. We hear that different ones has done different things. He's showing a lot of progress. Last night, I think I had about one of the roughest nights I ever had trying to preach to a congregation. I've traveled around a lot, but last night it looked like everything was just topsy-turvy and nobody, you just couldn't get nobody's spirit. And I made this statement, the Bible said, give honor to whom honor's due. Last night, Sister Edwards was one of them that helped me out last night. She probably didn't know it, but she did. The Bible said one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight.
Amen.
So when everything was going around this way and that way, finally, she just made up her mind she was going to listen, and she done like this. Now I began to catch a spirit, and another one came in. And finally, I was able to drive through, like trying to tear a wall down. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, is there any profit in that? Yes. That means that her reward will be greater and yours will be lesser. That's exactly what it means. Hers will be greater, yours will be lesser. When you stand in the way of sinners, you say, the Bible said, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Now, there's a lot of ways of standing in the way of a sinner. And one way is not to pay attention. You're standing in the way of sinners. Because when one member suffers, they all suffer. And when you do wrong, then the whole body feels it. If you rejoice and shout and feel good in the Lord, the whole body feels it. Because
Amen.
It's just like if I mash my finger, then the whole body feels it. The whole body feels it. And so we're just one body of many members. And whatever you do, then you either build up the body or you tear down the body.
Right.
And the Lord will hold us accountable in the day of judgment for it. So then, if you want to be a blessing, be a blessing. Don't be a hindrance.
Amen.
Don't be a hindrance. Now, you see, is there any other way, Brother Pike, to stand in the way of sinners? Yes. When you live, you go home and you watch non-virtuous things on your television screen, you read non-virtuous things in the newspaper, you hang non-virtuous things on the wall, pictures, that is, and little sayings and foolish things and comic books and all those kind of things. When you got them in your house, those kind of things will cause you to stand in the way of sinners.
Amen.
Because somebody's watching you. And when you come to church, you can't possibly have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Because you got the mind of Satan. You got the carnal mind. The Bible said it's enmity with God. How many of you know all of that is the mind of humanity? Television? Oh, that's the mind of humanity. That's what man got up. And the Bible said man's mind is contrary to God's mind.
Right.
Because man's mind, it looks to finite things, but God's mind looks to supernatural things. Man's mind tries to figure out everything, but God's mind just believes things.
Amen.
He believes things into existence. Man has to figure it out. Figure it out. So then, you can stand in the way of sinners. If you come to church and you just, as Brother Joe says so many times, you just slump down, you know, and you're half-hearted and listening, you're half-awake, and if you go to sing, you just half-heartedly sing. If you go to preach, you just half-heartedly preach. If you go to play the piano, you half-heartedly play the piano. Go to stone guitar, you just half-heartedly stone guitar. You're standing in the way of sinners.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I'm just tired and I can't help it, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, you can.
Amen.
What if you went out on your job out there and you come in, you punch the clock, and you drug over to your post of duty, you know, and you got over there and the boss would say, why don't you go back home this morning? We don't need you.
Amen.
But outside there say there's not a person in here that works on a job of what they don't try to give their job the very best. If they care anything about their job or their paycheck. So then if we do that for ourselves, how much more ought we to do it for our Lord?
Amen.
He gave His all for us. Now you say, well, I can't be negligent on my job. I just appreciate Brother Edwards' testimony. I feel robbed tonight because I didn't get it on tape. That's right. I believe that every individual ought to be willing to let their job just go any place or anything happen to it, but put God first.
Amen.
Everything that pertains to God, put it first and utmost in your life.
Amen.
Let the job just be a sideline. Let everything else you got be a sideline. That's why a lot of people don't get blessed is because they don't put the Lord Jesus first.
Amen.
They put their jobs first and their treasures first and whatever they got. But the Bible says that God won't have it if you give yourself to Him second. If you give Him your offering second, if you give Him your tithe second, if you give Him yourself second, He will not have you. He will not have you. You might as well just go on and do whatever you want to do, because He will not have you. So then God, the Bible said Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept, and it says that He wants the first fruits of our increase. If we take our paycheck and we pay this and then we pay that and pay everything else and then we come to God, you might as well keep it. You've lost your blessing already. The first thing God wants you to do is to honor Him. Amen. With the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses will burst out with the new wine they had on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
So then it's good to be here tonight. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord, to know that you love God, and that I wonder, Brother Joe, if they could get just a little sip of water. You get kind of dry in here, and your throat dries out. But we're just thankful to be here tonight, and glad to have the opportunity to preach to you. I feel a different spirit from what I felt last night, and I'm grateful to the Lord for it. Now we understand some's got rid of the television since we've been here, and some of them made some different arrangements in their hearts and in their homes and in their lives, and some of them have increased in the Word of the Lord, and we're just glad, because that's what we want them to do. We're thankful for that. That shows real sincerity and real honesty. When a person starts doing that, well, that means that something is taking place in their lives.
Amen.
And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Now, I want to tell you something. Remember, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to get interested in the preaching. I know, because sometimes you eat late before you come to church and you get a stomach full of acids and gases and you just feel worn out. They build up around your heart. And each individual don't know how the other one feels. And sometimes he's just miserable and wrecked. He just feels like a wreck. Because of condemnation or something. Something's took place or something's happened. Can't get their faith up. And all these kind of things, Satan uses those things to hinder us in our worship.
That's right.
And to keep our faith down. Now, a lot of times you sit on the bench and you're just so miserable you can't hardly sit there because of body fatigue or something. But if you'll just pray and enter into the service, God will help you.
Amen.
God will help you. He knows the ailment of your body, your pains, your heartaches and your sorrows, the oppression that you're going through. He understands. He understands the wandering of your thoughts. But the thing is, you know you got to sit through the service. So the thing is to try to get into the mind of Christ, and every one of those things will just diminish. And if you really show an interest in the service, it causes the preacher to feel that you're interested. And then when he feels that you're interested, then his faith goes up. And when his faith goes up, God begins to speak to you through him. But if he looks at you and he doesn't see any interest out there, he has no interest to stir his faith up. He doesn't get ambitious. And he'll drive for a few minutes and he'll say, oh, well, they ain't feeding tonight, and that's it. And you miss the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, a lot of people have funny thoughts about a minister. They feel that a minister should never speak haughty. He should never raise his voice. He should never say anything offensive. He should never grieve. But the Bible said them that God loves, He chastises. Sometimes He gives you whip. And the Bible said that chastisement is grievous for the Lord. Sometimes He grieves you. The Bible said Jesus got angry. Now we're the body of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible said Jesus became angry because of the hardness of their heart. He became angry with people. Sometimes a minister will get angry. That's right, because of the hardness of the hearts of the people. He just tries to break. He tries to break the spirit. And he can't. The Lord becomes angry because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you read how he spoke through the apostles and through Stephen, saying stiff-necked and uncircumcised. All those things, and through Moses when he called them rebels. I'll read you a little scripture here in just a minute. All of these things, see. In other words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He deals in the same manner. And he's just the same God all the way around.
Amen.
And you have to lift your voice, because he said, raise up thy voice, or lift up thy voice like a trumpet. You ever heard a trumpet blast out? You ever been in service and hear it? You can hear it all over the hillside. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. And then a lot of folks say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible says not to offend God's people. The Bible said in many things we offend all. So I'll tell you, every one of you, you'll get offended at me at one time or another if you come along. The Bible said in many things we offend every one of you. But he said, blessed is the man that is not offended in God or in the Word. Now, if you get offended at the Word, I can't help you, folks. Because we're going to offend you in many things. Now, I'm not going to offend you out of the Bible if I can help it. Because he said it'd be better than a millstone be tied about my neck. So if I offend you out of the Bible, you just come to me and you show me where I offended you. And I not only will apologize, but if it's necessary, I've done it before. I just get right down on my knees and I'll say, my sister, my brother, forgive me. Forgive me. Because I don't want to get in touch with God. So you say, Brother Pike, would you do that? I have done it. Sure, why not? Going to heaven, that it's cheap at any price, as somebody said. Why, getting down on my knees, well, that isn't anything. Saying I'm sorry, let you smite me or spit on me, let you call me a devil, why, mine, what does that amount to as long as I'm going to heaven?
Praise the Lord.
Well, Jesus said, if they call me a devil, surely they'll call you a devil. You know, I used to didn't know too much about that until a lady come up and said, you got a devil. That's right, and she wasn't saying it in a nice way. She was really bawling when she said it. Another one come up and said, you ain't nothing but trash. You know, you get acquainted with all those things as you travel around and so forth and so on. I said, well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He understands about it. He knows about that. And, of course, both of them got in bad, bad trouble. Bad, bad trouble. One of them almost died. She confessed and come to God and told me she almost died for him. Alright, now then, all of those things, I said it to get to say this, that there is more to it than we think. A lot of times we think the minister should preach in a way that it should be love and kindness and joy, but oh, how mixed up we are. Now I want you to notice here, and I want to show you that that's not the way the minister is to preach. I want to talk tonight on a woman's place, but this is the woman, this is the church. So all this is pertaining to you. Now, the way of the transgressor is hard. If you're a Christian, it ain't going to be hard for you. That's right. But if you're a transgressor, it's going to be hard. You're going to have a hard time all the time. Just living in and out, in and out, in and out, and up and down. Always hardship. But now, here's what he said. He said, come, this is Isaiah, first chapter. And I want you to read with me because I've got a good many scriptures to read tonight. I want to take my time. We don't have enough. Enough, Joe, I hope you'll flip that tape over and catch it on the other side so we can transfer it. All right, now listen real well here now. In the first chapter of Isaiah, it says here in the, I think I'll start in the 17th verse, or 16th verse. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings. From before my eyes, cease to do evil. Now there must be some evil that we can do, or Jesus never would have said stop doing evil. He said, cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't mean to tell me that the Bible tells me to seek judgment. Yeah, I'm going to show you why if you listen now. It says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now, when you say plead for the widow, that's speaking of the church and the spiritual. It says here that you should help the fatherless. That means them that's never been born again. They're bastard children out yonder somewhere. And then it tells us here to seek judgment. That is, be just in your decisions. And it says relieve the oppressed, them that need help from God. It says come now and let us reason together. Now that's what the minister's doing to you when he preaches. He's reasoning with you. God is trying to reason with you and show you the wrong things that's in your life that you might get away from them and come to the right things.
Amen.
It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be, now notice this verse here especially. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I want you to get that now. I quote the scripture here the other night where the Lord said that I would that my people obey me, told Moses that I would that they would obey me and do the things that I want them to do, said that it might be well with them and their children all the days of their life. And then I read where Job, the Lord spoke over in Job's writings. He told him all that. He said that you will spend your years. You will spend your years in happiness. Your days in prosperity. If you'll do the things that I tell you. And then he says in the 19th verse of Isaiah, if ye be willing, if ye be willing, if ye be willing, he says, you've got to be willing. If ye be willing and obedient, you got to be obedient. First, you got to be willing. That's what I try to get you to do when I preach to you. Be willing. Willing to hear. Willing to go with God. Willing to obey. He said, if ye be willing and obedient, and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's right. There's plenty of good in the land.
Amen.
But if ye refuse and rebel, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured for the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, what sword is he speaking of? The sword of the Spirit. You believe that?
Amen.
The Bible said the minister beareth not the sword of God in vain.
Amen.
Said, but he is God's minister to execute wrath upon them that do evil.
That's right.
Said, fear. For he is God's minister unto you for good, if you do good. But otherwise, he can bless you, he can curse you. He can remit your sins or he can retain them. That is, he can cut you off or he can take you in. It's up to him. I know a lot of people are going to be shocked in the day of judgment when they go to stand before God and they're going to say, Lord, judge me. The Lord, this is about this. And the Lord say, okay, come here, Job. This is your group. And he'll say over here, say, Brother Lindenham, come here. This is your sheep. Brother Pike, come over here. This is your sheep. They say it's time for me to judge. And then he'll start judging you according to what I told you. According to what Job told you. That's right. The Bible said the saints of God shall judge the world. So then we see that they are the ones that remit your sins or retain your sins. And now he goes on down to the Father. Said, how is the faithful sin it becoming hard? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderous. One time the great city had judgment in it. One time it had righteousness in it, but said now it's become a whore. Said it's a whore. Now anybody can come along and preach and give the spiritual seed and else take it. Bastard children be born. Rock and rolls will be born. Any kind of children be born. I hope one night we can get into that on the message of inspiration. All right, now notice what he said over here, little father. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross. And take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges, as at the first, and thy counselors, as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city.
Amen.
Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. How many of you hear what I said?
Amen.
Notice what it said here. It said the church shall be redeemed with judgment. Not rock and roll. Not laughing, not shouting. Not praises. No, sir. It said Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. You're not going to get in justice. Somebody said just believe and that's all. It says by righteousness that you'll get in.
Amen.
The lofty look of man shall be humble and the hardness of men shall be bowed down and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the lostness of man shall be bowed down, and the hardness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. How many of you listening?
Amen.
I want you to notice that in the 12th verse. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. In the 11th verse, he says here the lofty look of man shall be humble. Then in the 17th verse, he said, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down.
Amen.
So then we see God He's going to judge us, and he's going to do it, so he's going to redeem us through judgment. Alright, now, I said that to get to say this. It said the beautiful city has become a harlot. She's just become a whorish woman that takes seed from any minister that comes by, no longer from the body of Jesus Christ, to be the bride of the Lord, to raise children unto God. No longer. She's become, instead of being the Virgin Mary, she's become Eve. That's what she's done. I want you to listen to this tonight. I want to try my best to expound to you just a little bit. It's a teaching message, and it's concerning a woman's place. And I want to try to get into it. I don't feel enough drawing tonight, enough stirring, enough concern. I just don't feel it, and I tell you, last night, the tide of the Spirit was so low, I started to close out last night and not go any farther. And even though it's very grievous to me, if I have a person, just one person, though I know they're a hypocrite, the Lord tells me that they're a hypocrite. And even though I know that person's a hypocrite, yet if they sit in my under my ministry or in my presence, it's still grievous with me, see, because I know that they're not paying attention. I know they're hypocrites. I could name in here just about every hypocrite we got in the church. How many know that Jesus knew the hypocrites? They came to him and he said, "You hypocrite." Sure, he knew the hypocrites. Well, I know the hypocrites by the grace of God. But the thing is, we have to push over the hypocrites because they're sent there for the purpose of hindering. But there are children of God that should desire the word of the Lord. Amen. And desire the message of God enough to get interested and kill that old spirit of lethargy and do away with that old spirit of unconcern and override that spirit of grief and that spirit of condemnation and all of those things. You say, "But Brother Mike, I'm guilty." The Bible says forgetting those things that are behind. Forget them. Forget them. His mercies are new every day. This is a new day. Amen. What you've done yesterday ain't got nothing to do with today. Forget it yesterday. His mercies are new today. Get your faith up in God and promise God you won't do it no more. Stay away from that thing. Because you see, it's a faith killer, and you kill your faith, you'll be lost, because it's by grace through faith that you're saved.
Amen.
You cannot get grace, which is the mercy of God, except to get it through faith, folks.
Amen.
That's the only way the grace of God comes to you is through your faith. That's why you have to live a holy, unspotted life in the world, is to have faith in God.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead, and if your faith is dead, the grace of God can't give to you.
That's right.
Because it's by grace, mercy, through your believing or faith, that you're saved. Therefore, you've got to live holy, perfect, upright before God to have that faith and that grace can get to you. So then, he said, the city has become a harlot. Now then, I want to read right here in the book of Isaiah. I've got some scriptures marked here, and you might get Brother Joe to read a little bit. Let's take our time now and enter in. Remember, the world is on their way to hell, and we're here tonight to talk about Jesus because we know the end of the world is here. Right. Now you might say, "Well, I'd rather be somewhere else." Well, in all love, I say this again, as I said last night, in love, I excuse you. If you feel like you're restless, you're not enjoying it, you don't want it, then go out. Brother Pike won't feel bad with you at all. There's the door. Go out, go home. If there ain't but two left, all right, there ain't none left, I'll close the Bible and I'll go home. But now, if there's anybody that don't want to hear it, then go home. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that in love. Go home. But if you do want to hear it, then for goodness sakes, act like you want to hear it. I won't feel bad at you if you get up and walk out. But I'll feel pretty bad at you if you sit there and deceive me and try to make me think you want to hear it when you don't want to hear it. So then I ask you, if you got a television program or something you want to see, go on over and watch it. If you're hungry and you didn't eat no supper, go on home and eat. If you're too tired, you want to go to bed, go on home and go to bed.
Amen.
But if you want to stay here and hear God's word, then stay with me.
Amen.
All right. Now you do just whatever you like to, and we'll love you just as much. But I want you to listen to me now, and I won't hold you long. I'm a reasonable person, and I'll try to let you go. Now then, the first place that I want to read tonight is from the book of Isaiah in the 3rd chapter. And I want you to read with me. I'd like for you to read with me, because I'm going to ask Joe and some of you to read. I want you to know that this is Scripture. All right, now, Joe, I want you to stand with me, if you will, and read. Your throat is a little clearer than mine. Mine's still just from last night, driving and all. The devil does that to keep your throat pulled out. But I want you to read from the third chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I want you to read there at the 10th verse. I want you to start at the 10th verse. Listen real close, folks, real close to these words now.
Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him.
Right,
they shall
well.
Eat the fruit of their doing.
Now wait now just a minute, Joe. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. All right, righteous, it's going to be well with you. I tell you in the name of the Lord, all things work together for your good. And you're going to eat the fruit of your doings. You're doing the right thing and you're going to reap the reward. You're going to reap. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given.
All right, right there. I won't tell you people that's wicked. Woe unto you. Revelation said one more cometh and then another woe. One woe cometh and then another woe. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him. You're going to have a rough, rugged time. And you hear me tonight? You're going to have a rough, rugged time, for the reward of your hands is going to be given to you. And you remember that. Just exactly what you've measured out is going to be measured back to you. You watch and see that I'm telling you the truth.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
As for my people,
listen to this.
Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path.
Let me emphasize this now, Brother Joe. He said, as for my people, children are their oppressors. Children just about drive them crazy. That's right. The children want to go to the ball game. They want to go bowling. They want to go swimming. They want to go to this. They want to go to that. They want to ramble around at night and do everything that's unlike God. And they just about drive you out of your mind. The Bible said, children are thine oppressors. Spirits of foolishness are in the hearts of little children. And the Bible said a rod of correction would drive it far from them.
Amen.
But because you will not correct the children in the house of God, it grieves God, and God turns loose the devils on them when they get out your house, so they'll drive you out of your mind.
Right.
Because you won't reverence his house. The Bible said, let the child learn to show piety at home and be quiet himself at home, that he might conduct himself right in the house of the Lord. But we let him chew bubble gum and pop bubble gum and dress wrong and frolic and walk in and out and go round and round. They mess up the house of God. They disgrace the house of God. Do everything that's contrary to godly living. And so then he said, there are your oppressors. Then he says here, he said, women rule over thee. I am talking about a woman's place tonight. He said, my people, women do rule over thee. Thank you, Joe. Women do rule over thee. He said, women rule over thee. Did you know that America is a woman's nation? How many of you know that? That's right, she's the woman's nation. America is a woman's nation. Start off with the number 13, which is the woman's number. It is a woman's nation, and in this nation we've got all kind of offices filled with women, folks. We've got all kinds of offices, and now they're fixing to run for president. I saw one here the other day driving a hearse. First time I ever saw a woman driving a hearse, but she was hauling a dead person down the road. She's a policeman. She'll drive a hearse. She's a boxer. She's a wrestler. She's anything you can think. She's a governor. She's a statesman. She's anything. If you want to go up in a rocket, she'll go up in a rocket. If you want to go up in a balloon, she'll go up in a balloon. She'll do anything that you'll do. That's right. That's the woman's work. Now, you say, is that a woman's place? No, sir. No, sir. That's not a woman's place, folks. That's not a woman's place. He said, women do rule over thee. Women do rule over thee. Did you know that the devil has tried ever since the garden experience to cause a woman to take authority in the home and to rule over the man? Did you know that's true? Ever since God put them in the garden, God put them to the test and the woman proved to be the weaker vessel. And he said, Adam was not in the transgression. Now, I want you to listen to this. Somebody said, well, Adam is just as much to blame as the woman. The Bible said Adam was not found in the transgression.
Amen.
He said, but the woman was in the transgression. And he said, because she was found in the transgression, He said, Adam, thou shalt rule over Eve thy wife. And then he said to Abraham, he said, I will share my secrets with Abraham. He said, all of you. He said, because I know that you will command your household after me. I know that you will do this. I said to you the other night, sometime it takes some command to be able to fulfill the will of God. So then, I want you to notice this now. He said, women rule over thee. Women today, statistical reports show that if my brother here goes into the insurance business, it won't be long before he'll learn about it. The statistical report today shows the rich men dying out and leaving their widows the fortunes. They're dying out. It looks like a man will die before a woman. He's just driven and driven and driven somehow as a rule. The woman just lives right on, but the man soon dies out. Now then, the facts of today are that the winners are getting control of the fortunes, and they're turning our world into a frolic land. Wearing tights and pedal pushes and shorts and bathing suits and everything that they can do. They're painting everything from their eyelashes to their toenails. That's right. Now I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to try to point out to you what it represents and what it shows. If you'll just listen and go along with me a little bit tonight, I'll try my best to show you just what it means. Women, do rule over thee. They're setting the pace of America. Even Russia, I understand, made the statement when they had this escapade of women, you know, where they pick a Miss America, that kind of thing. Why, Khrushchev made the statement last day. He said, we do not take our ladies and put them out on the block like that and undress them and expose them before the world. And we think, oh, our women than that. Somebody said, well, it was the judges. I said not too long ago, you know what them judges was doing? They put them women up on the blocks to where their legs is right there at their faces, and then they go down like a bunch of dogs looking at them legs, just like that. Devils of lust!
Amen.
Those judges are interested in sex, and that's all they're interested in. It's seeing those new bodies just like the devil was interested in the garden. Right. Sure. Now, some night we'll preach on inspiration, and I'll show you why he's so carried away with sex. But the thing is, the Bible says that women rule over my people. Brother, you got a woman preacher. I don't know whether we got a woman deacon or not. I don't think I've ever run into a woman deacon. But we got women preachers. We got women Sunday school teachers. And they've got into the church to where they just do everything that they want to do, that the man will just cater to the woman. He'll build a great big church, and you don't have to worry about the man getting there. If the man doesn't come, she'll get you a half a dozen women that'll take his place, and you won't ever even miss him. That's right. If you're one of those preachers that can speak sweet and hold your fingers just right and catch them at the door and talk with them, hold their hands and rub their hands and say, sister, we're so glad that you're here tonight. And if you're one of them preachers that don't bother you from the dressing tight dresses or dresses way down their necks or pull the arms out for the roots or anything, why, they'll just flock to your church and you'll just have a big time. That's all it is to them. Why? He said, women do rule over thee. You go into a home and a woman, if she wants her way, she just raises her voice up. She flies into a temper tantrum, and if you don't let her have her way, she flies into you like a tiger, and she just about tears your clothes off, and about the time you get ready to stop and knock her across the bed, she begins to, oh, she's hysterical. You say you're mocking. I am telling you the truth, what I see. Not too long ago, I know one, she got mad at her husband, she jerked the clock down, she threw it down the floor, she tore the beds up, she turned the dresser over, and her husband was just all the pieces over. And I met her and I said, lady, I said, that was nothing less than a devil. No, it wasn't no nervous breakdown, it was a devil, that's what it was. A person that has a nervous breakdown don't do things like that. They just go all to pieces and can't help themselves and they become a pitiful sore. Like a little child afraid. I've seen them with a nervous breakdown. So then, the woman rules over you. She's smart. She knows just what to do. I know this ain't taking good for you, women. But it had to come, and so here it is.
Now then, she's smart. Why is the woman so smart?
Because the devil's got a hold of her, that's why. He's the smartest creature you'll ever find walking this earth outside of God. That's right. Some man thinks he can outsmart Satan. Brother, let me tell you something. Satan was way back yonder from the beginning of the world. He's been in every poker game, every crap game. He's been in every politician meeting. He's seen every program that was ever put together, sent in every council that you've got, and he knows just what to do. He knows all the answers, and when you try to figure out how to get around him, all you do is just wasting your time. Your little finite mind, it doesn't understand the powers of darkness. It doesn't understand the powers of Satan. And there's nothing that you can do with it. But when you get the mind of Jesus Christ, it was here before the world ever began. It can reach beyond the mind of Satan. It goes way back out in the eternities before Satan ever came into existence. And the only way that you can outwit Satan is to have the mind of Jesus Christ, or he will lead you around in a circle and make you think that you're living right and cause you to be one of the biggest hypocrites in the church. That's right. Why is the woman so cunning? Why is she so sly? It's because Satan knows how to deal with that woman. He works with her. He'll work with her. I'm going to say something that's going to hurt. Have you ever noticed that a man will wear his clothes slapped down to his ankle? But you get a woman to come down below her knees and she just about has a spasm. Why is that? It's because the man in the type of Jesus Christ, he portrays the Lord Jesus in the world. And because of that, he wants to be covered up. He wants to be pure. He doesn't want to go around showing his body. Unless he just gets rotten. He finally just gets rotten. And then he'll do anything after he gets rotten. But the woman is a type of the church. And God has tried his best to show the religious people of this world just what kind of condition they've really got in.
Amen.
He's tried his best. He's shown the condition of the church by showing you the woman and the way that she's dressed and the way that she's done. And in spite of all the things he's tried to do to show it, you still can't see the condition of the church. The Bible said, having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. The woman shows the condition of the church. She's cut her hair off. And the hair is a type of the glory of God that's in the church. A hair is a type of the government. The Bible, somebody said, well, how long do I have to wear my hair? The Bible said to let it be long. Somebody said, how long does it have to be? The Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulders. It's got to come down to his shoulders. Or it's not long because she's a type of the church. And the Bible says, let the hair come down to the shoulders of government. And that's on the shoulders. That's what she's a type of. But if you notice, the devil does his best to keep it off the shoulders. Have you ever noticed that? That's right. He always wants that hair fixed up here. And they want to follow it up. And Paul told him, he said, we don't want the plaque of the hair in the church. Don't want it pompadoed up. Don't want it pinned up. And this, all those kind of things. He said, don't do those things. Why? Don't you know that when you plait your hair, that's a type of planting the crown of thorns? That's the church. And you watch what I'm telling you. If the woman leaves, they'll have a nice car. They'll have a nice home. They'll have nice clothes. They'll have prestige in the community. But brother, they'll be as dead. Just as dead as an old doornail when it comes to real having a vision of God. You let her leave, and I guarantee you that that third man will be like that because she loves the things of this world. She's made for the things of this world, and she'll turn to the things of this world, and a man will see God. Do it every time, and God made her look a blessing, so she portrayed that. Now then, you see them plaiting their hair. When Paul asked him not to do that, ask him not to do all those things. Because all these hairdos that you see, all this cutting off of the hair, twisted up, ponytails and everything, signifies what they have done to the glory of God in the church. They've made it into just about everything that you can imagine. And the Bible said the woman's hair is her glory, and you can see what she's done with it. That's right, she's made it one of the biggest messes that anybody could ever make anything.
and she's cut it off. And did you know that when a woman cuts her hair, it's a type of rebellion against God and against her husband?
Amen.
It shows the rebellion of the church against God. And it shows the rebellion of the woman against her head, which is a husband. And the Bible says she dishonors her head, which is her husband. She dishonors her head before God when she does that thing. And she dishonors God. And God said, if her hair be short, if she cuts it all short, said she might as well have shaved it all off, and said, don't let a woman come in my presence prophesying or even pray.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, how serious is it? Ain't no need for you to get on your knees and pray. If you go and cut your hair off when you're no better than to do it, there's no need to come in the presence of God and even pray, because He won't hear it.
Amen.
He won't hear it. You're just... How many of you know that the Bible says the woman shall be saved in childbearing?
Amen.
She shall be saved in childbearing. If she continued holiness, then God said, I will save her through childbearing. If she continued holiness, she can be saved. But she's to be saved through a husband, which means childbearing. Obedience unto her husband, taking seed of her husband. She shall be saved in childbearing, which means travail. Now, what does that signify spiritually? It means that the church of the living God, the only way that can be saved is through travail to God. It must travail before God and receive the seed of the Word and bear children unto God, or it will never be saved. It's saved through childbearing. We've got a land full of false physicians, and they're making the men sterile. They're moving the reproduction organs of the woman. And it shows the hypocritical preacher that's going into the church, bringing all of these evils to pass in the church to make the church barren. Let them have a good time. Let them have that inspiration. That inspiration that causes the thrill of humanity. You know what I'm talking about. These evil powers. These evil preachers. These evil physicians come into the house of God, and they don't give you the seed of travail. They hold back the seed of travail, but they work you up into that inspiration that calls for the seed of travail, and then they take an offering. And the Bible said, my people love to have it so. They love that thrill. They love that thrill, but they don't want the seed of travail to bring them to fasting and prayer and studying and doing whatever, doing away with the thing that's immodest and so forth. They don't want those kind of things. But they want the thrill of the Spirit.
That's right.
That's the way the women are today. They want the relation. But they don't want motherhood. They don't want to be a woman that travails. They don't want to be a mother that will bear children. What is it? That's the day that we're living in. That's the kind of a day that we're living in, people. And the church shows just exactly what it is. The man is sterile. The man is completely sterile. Some of these preachers that you have up here, they couldn't preach the word if they wanted to anyway because they're sterile. They can't bring you the word of God. They don't even know the word of God. They sealed their conscience with a hot iron and went out younger and done the things of the world so long that they even got the word of God. Now then, they've gotten such a fix, the Word of God could never come to them. He said, women rule over thee. Women set the pace. Then he said, I want to tell you, they cause you to err. When the woman takes the steering wheel of the car, you're headed for a wreck, so to speak. That's right, when she's not controlled by a husband. When the woman takes control of the house, you're headed for a wreck. Somebody said, well, I think the woman can do just as good a job as a man. You're absolutely wrong. You're mixed up. The Bible teaches she can't do it. God made her the weaker vessel.
Amen.
He made her to be weaker. I don't care how much she tries to prove she's equal with a man. She's not equal with him.
Amen.
God made her weaker. Don't you know if God had made two people just as light and one just as strong as the other, they couldn't live together? That's why so many separations now, because the woman... Every time you find a woman that will not submit to her husband, she's got a devil. She's got a devil because her spirit was made to be tender and kind and submissive, and her spirit was made weaker that it might come together with a man that he might be the head and she might be the members. And brother, if she will not submit, she's got a devil. I don't care how religious she is, she's still got a devil because the spirit wasn't made as strong as a man's.
That's right.
So then if she's as strong as the man, she's got a devil. Something's wrong. She's energized by some other power.
Amen.
Now then, they that lead me calmly there, they take control of things and they run there. Then it's the devil. He's always, he knows he can subdue that woman better than he can a man. And if he can prefer them and cause that man to wear the pants, and he'll finally get the man around the, or the woman to wear the pants, he'll finally get the man around to wearing the dresses. It might take a little while. He'll get the woman to cut her hair off, and already we've got the beatniks, and theirs are growing out. So he's just turning the whole thing around.
Right.
And he's even proposing operations to change the sex organs of humanity. He done it.
Right.
Found out they can do it. What is
right.
it? He's trying to control this world through the woman through perversion. And it's the same identical way with the church. They've got ideology, they've got theology, they've got philosophy, they've got everything but the Word of God.
Right.
They reject the head, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said you reject the cornerstone. Said you reject the cornerstone, you reject the word. Said all of you builders done it. You reject the cornerstone. And he said, I'll tear every stone down. Said there won't be one left upon another. I don't care if you have a revival, and if you get 50,000 people to fill the arenas or come to God, brother, if you don't give them the word, which is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, God will tear every one of those down. But if you'll take the word of God and lay the foundation of the apostles, and bring the mortar of charity. Let it bond together like the stones of God. Like this cornerstone, God will accept it and he'll dwell in it as a habitation for the Spirit. He will do it and he'll place his name upon it. He told Solomon, he said, if you'll build my temple and get the skilled men that I tell you to get and do the things that I tell you to do, he said, I'll place my name on it. And Brother Joe, he's placed his name on the real live stones today. Them that are called by his name, and he said, everyone that looketh toward it. He said, if called on this name, he said, I promise you I'll heal him. I'll deliver him. And so it is, if we've really got God with us, then we can do these things. Alright, now notice what he said here. He said, women rule over thee, and they that lead thee cause you to err. Now I want to name some of the things that cause you to err. And look, notice this. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment. Now listen to this. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancient of his people. That's his leaders. The leaders of his people, God said, I will enter into judgment with them as I go to judge the people. With the ancient of his people and the princes thereof, for you have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your house. I want you to get that. He's speaking of spiritual poor too.
Right.
He's taken the fleece, the sheep, and ain't done nothing to give them the word.
Right.
What mean ye that beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord saith, listen to this thing. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are holy. I want you to get this. Now, he's speaking of spiritual daughters, too. Speaking of spiritual daughters, listen to that. He said, the daughters of the church. He ain't talking about the daughters of the world. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, show all people of their sins. He said, they fast and say, Lord, we've done this, you've not heard us. We pray, we've done this, you've not heard us. But he said, you don't pray for the right thing. You don't fast. You fast to get prosperity. You pray to get prosperity. You pray to get blessed. You pray. You don't pray to try to prosper the work of God at all. He said here, notice what he said. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are holy, and walk with stretched forth necks, wanton eyes, he said, stretched forth necks, wanton eyes. He said, they walk haughty, act haughty. Nobody can't tell them nothing, he said. Notice what he said, children of God. Walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and menacing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Women talk with their eyes, they talk with their hands, they talk with their feet. Every action of a woman can speak to you. The devil can use it in any way that he wants to and talk right to you. He said they make a tinkling with their feet. You ever notice high heels? Does it go mincing? Men sing their feet as they go. Amen. You might as well say amen, or only because it's just just deserve in the way that God of heaven rules.
Amen.
It's not going to be changed. It's not going to be altered. Making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scandal the daughter of the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. And the Lord will discover their secret parts.
Amen.
He said, because you've done this, I will disrobe you before the world. I've called you to wear shorts. I've called you to wear tights. I've called you to do everything that Hollywood tells you to do. I will disrobe you. Somebody said, well, we're just showing our beautiful bodies. We're just making them crazy about us. No, sir. All you're doing is immuning the men to you. You are immuning the men to you. I want you to know it. You're immuning the men to you. You keep on exposing your body. You'll become like a dog. They won't have any desire for you. Just about got that way now. The Bible said in the last days, I'll read it to you in the fourth chapter here. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man. He said, you'll get so disgraceful, you won't have any reputation anymore. Nobody will care for you anymore. All the men want to do is sport with you. He won't care anything about you because he knows you ain't fit for a mother. You're not fit to be with him. And what's the need of bringing you home for sexual purposes? The world's full of women. That's what a man told me. That's what I need a wife for. That's the way he felt, see? She ain't no good otherwise, no way. Said, we will eat our own bread. Come on, women, I told you, you ain't got no bread that's on the job. You done lost your reputation years ago, man, with the let you went on the job. No, sir, his wife was some person. He wouldn't let you be out there around a bunch of devils and fill your mind with a filth and ungodliness. No, sir, he would have done it. But it says here, we will eat our own bread, husband. I don't mind making it. I don't mind helping you work on a job. I'm glad you don't. But the husband ought to be ashamed of himself to put you on a job. You can say amen or only. I'm here to preach.
Amen.
When we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, we'll buy our own clothes, we'll make our own living if you'll just give us a name. That's all we want. Just let us have a husband, because people, they don't consider a woman decent anymore unless she's got somebody to protect her. We will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Did you know that God, I want you, you hold this with me, listen. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. That's right. Said the fruit shall be excellent. After I burned Zion, took away the dross. He said the trees in the garden will be few in number then. He said, but when people see them, they'll say they're holy.
Amen.
He said they shall be called holy. They shall be called holy. Them that's left in there will be precious. They will be called holy. God will call them holy. And the world will call them holy. Because they won't go bowling and dancing and frolicking and do the thing. They won't go down there on a job and stay down there on a job where their minds can be filled with the filth of the world. But they'll live holy, walk holy, and do the way and bidding of God Almighty.
Amen.
Notice what he said here. Said it beautiful in that time. All right, he said, I will discover the secret part. Somebody said, well, I just wear shorts because I want to. No, you don't. No, sir, the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. The preparation of man's heart is from God. It's God that causes you to do that. It's God that causes you to walk like that. It's God that causes you to desire to disrobe yourself like that. It's God that's causing you to do it. He said, I will discover thy secret parts. I create the good. I create the evil. I have my way in both, he said.
Amen.
I am the one that prepares the man's heart.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, I'll live right if I want to. Oh, no. Oh, no. Like I told my son the other night, he said, I think a line up with God. I said, it ain't that easy. It ain't that easy. You can't just line up with God when you want to. Esau, after he'd done the thing of the world and filled his belly with a husk, he decided to line up with God. But he wasn't no place left. He said, Father, 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 said, don't you have one blessing left for me? He said, son, I don't have anything to give you. He said, you went the wrong way. All right, now listen. What are they trading it for? He said, said, because the daughters of Zion walk haughty, the Lord will discover their secret parts. The Lord will do it, he said. I will expose them and cause them just to be like an old dog to where they won't be any respect for them if seven of them obey. Barely for one name. Seven of them will say, I. Did you know that you can watch your husband just about seven of them's after him right now? Statistical report shows about seven women than each man. Read in your yearbook and see if I'm telling you the truth. That's right, we're trying to seduce him on this corner, seduce him on this corner, seduce him over here, and seduce him over here. I tell you, say they wouldn't. Why, you know they wouldn't do that, Brother Pike. Not too long ago, I was right over here in South Carolina. I was preaching to a young lady, a beautiful young lady. Looks like she could have had any man she wanted. Coming to my service, I told the people, I said, there's a woman here with a devil of lust in her. I've done this a number of times. And that woman knows I was talking about her. She knows it was when we dismissed the service. She got her coat and put her coat around her. Because the cross was absolutely awful. She come to me later and told me how glad she was that I exposed that spirit. She wanted to do what was right. And I want you to know, one of the reputable preachers out the world came into the same place that the woman took him away from his wife. She's married to him right now. And the man has preached all over the United States and probably some of the foreign countries. But that spirit got him, Brother Joe. That spirit got him. Now then, this woman was supposed to be a Christian too. He said the dogs of Zion. The churches have gotten in such a condition that they'll do almost anything to get a preacher. Did you know that? They'll take anything that comes along just to get a preacher. There's at least seven preachers, seven churches. Now there's an equality at least seven churches that's begging for a preacher across this world. I tell you, if you've got a preacher, if you can get a preacher, you hold on to it. If he's the right kind of man, you hold on to it. Because it's gotten to where at least seven churches is begging for one minister. Doors are closing up all across America because the daughters of Zion have walked haughty. They won't listen to the preaching. They won't obey the preacher. They disgrace the preacher. They disgrace the house of God. They cause the world to walk them. And the preacher gets disgusted and discouraged and he beats the people of the city as they mock the people that come to his church and find me his knees. They won't pay the bills. They just want to know. Now, what is it? All right, notice right here. He said, in that day. Now what day? He said, when I exposed the daughters of Zion. In that day. Now I know when we speak of it, of exposing the daughters of Zion, speaking of all these sharp brain and all that kind of thing. But spiritually speaking, he said, I'm going to expose what's in your heart. I'm going to expose what's in your heart. If it's a rock and roll party in there, we're going to bring it out of sin. If it's desire for television and things that's ungodly, we're going to bring it out. If it's desire for automobiles and land, if it's desire for products, and the dogs of Zion, I'm going to expose what's in Christ.
Right.
I'm going to bring it out of that day, he said. And he said, you've been haughty, you wouldn't listen, you rebelled, but I told you to eat the good of the land, otherwise the sword would devour you. Now here's what he says to you. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling garments. I'll take away all the beads and the ornaments about your ankles. I'll take away all the little tinklets on your arms. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their claws and their round tires like the moon. Because we know that in that day they had tires about their head and they puffed their head up like these heathen hairdos that we got. We just use our hair now to do it with. Back then they had a tire about their head. But today we've got white boy tires on the car too. We've got all those things that's sporty, we call it, you know. You say, is anything wrong with having white boy tires? No. No, but I've seen people on Sunday when they ought to be in church out there scrubbing on a white ball tire. Oh, what spiritual is. A man would sacrifice his soul. That's worse than Judas done. At least Judas did get 30 pieces of silver out of it. And you out there polishing on an old hunk of metal. Try now, just like Brother Edwards tonight, if he had a compromise with the devil, that was the carnal mind talking to him. If he had a compromise with the devil, he'd stay there and made a few dollars. And no telling what would have happened in his home. If God intended for him to be here, there's no telling what would happen to him in his home. All right, but he wouldn't let the devil out with him. All right, notice this now. I'll take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their claws and their round tires like the moon. the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers.
Yeah, they really like the glass patch and them kind of things, don't they?
The box and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the medals and the whipples and the crisping pins. Listen to this. The glasses of the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. Oh, they got to dress just right. They got to have everything just right in their dressing. They got to fill the little glass, puny looking china closets with this kind of glass and this kind of glass. And they'll take the Lord's money, little boy, they'll get on the streets of India and starve to death to put a little 10-cent tinklet up there or get some little piece of glass up there. And I'd be the thing, but you go into some folks' home and you break a little monkey on the ship and they'll lose every bit of religion they ever had. That's right. Their conviction is just as deep as where they trade. If you want to find where they're trading, are you just with your children going to the house with a little mud on their feet or let them just mess with something over here somewhere and they just about have a spasm? That's right. They just sit there just like this the whole time you're there. They can't even enjoy your company. And another you go into somebody else's house and they're always looking at the clock. I wonder when they go up. Buck Jones will be on in a few minutes. Comments will be on all the time. They just can't entertain you for worrying about you running to that.
That's right.
I've seen that so many times, the Holy Spirit says, son, why don't you get up and you leave? Why don't you get away from this thing? That's right.
Amen.
What did he say? Here's what he said. He said, you go ahead and get your fine glasses, the glasses of the flying linen. Go ahead and get all these pretty rolls about the bed, the curtains, and you get everything you want. He said, I want you to get every bit of it. Now listen to me, folks. He said, I'm speaking about the woman, the spiritual woman right now, the woman's place. All he said here, said, get everything you want. He said, because when you do, and it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be a stink. He said, you can buy all the spray at the dime store you want to, but by the time your belly rottens out with cancer, nobody will want to visit you no way. I've been to home when they spray and done everything that they could do, but I couldn't stand to see my house. I was filled with stink. It was rotten. You couldn't even stand to be in it.
That's right.
Better have prayer for people. He said, you get everything you want now. You neglect the poor. You let the needy go. You satisfy the lust of your flesh. He said, I want you to do every bit of it. He said, because it's going to come to pass, instead of that sweet smell that you love, there's going to be a stink. And instead of a gold, he said, it's going to be a rent. It's going to be a rent. And instead of wealth, said, hair falls. And instead of a stomacher, a girdle with sackcloth and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in war. And against shall the men mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. He said, you get everything that your old flesh wants, and then I'm going to take your boy over yonder, and I'm going to let him kill him somewhere on the battlefield. And I'm going to charge you one son for what you've done. I'm going to charge you one son for what you've done. You just get what you want! I'm going to charge you one daughter for your... I'm going to turn your daughter into a whore. The Bible said that God would do it. He said you sell your daughters into whoredom. Well, these things, the Bible plainly speaks out. The scripture said for a bottle of wine you make your daughter a whore. That's right. How is it Zion had become a harlot, the Bible said? Hide, because the woman can't stay in her place. She can't stay in her place. She turned her home into a prostitute. A place of prostitute. That's right, she's turned her home into it. Her daughters can't. The daughters of the house, they come up under her roof. They come up, but they don't have any respect for her. Why? They'll come to church and their eyes are black as mud. I want you to listen now. Listen to this. Mothers let their daughters paint their eyebrows, paint their eyelashes, paint their face, paint their toenails, and then say, He said, when you do those things, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. He said, if a man will provide for his own household, he's denied the faith. Not only is he a liar, but the Bible says he's worse than anybody.
Amen.
That's evil. God said, will I not visit for these things? Will I not visit for these things? Women shave off their eyebrows. Watch it. Men is just about as bad. Shave
shave off the eyebrows. They get to raise it now. What they do it for? What do it for? The Bible said, make no baldness around the eyes of the dead.
Jesus said, because of the lust of the flesh, because of the swell and the lust thereof, them that are dead out there in trespasses and sin, to get their approval and get their attention.
You make baldness around the eyes of the dead. You paint your eyebrows. You paint your eyebrows. You can't pull your feet as you go. Sure, put anklets on or anything to make noise, anything. You know what you're trying to do? Did you know in the Old Testament, the way that Israel tried to get to God was with a cast. Did you know that? And a woman is the type of the church, and she's trying to get her husband with a calf of the legs. Hollywood has emphasized it. She lays up on her tiptoes. That's right. That's right. She's trying to get her husband with her, the calf of the legs, for lust. That's the way Israel does it. That's not the way you get a godly man. Brother, you'll get a devil like that, and you'll be sorry if you get him.
That's right.
That's right. You will be sorry if you get him. They balder her up, show the crucifixion. They paint their face up just like you've heard me say when I used to work in a funeral home. What we do, we drain all the blood out of the person, and the person was just as quiet as they could be. And then take cosmetics and rub for hours and hours in the morning. Or somebody come down to view me, just rub and rub until you get the cosmetics back in there and you bring a pink look out, you know. People who are dead in trespasses and sin. Brother Joe, while they're here, they put these things on because it shows that they're dead. It's a false makeup. It's a false face. It's a false lie.
Amen.
Women work on the job when they couldn't be at home, guard the house like the Bible told them to do.
Amen.
They're over there and they're working till they dry their bones out. They dry their body out. They get to looking hard like a man. They get a hard spirit like a man. Then the man can't live with them no more. He sees somebody out there that's been sitting around home and taking care of themselves. A mother that's tender and soft and pure and soft and wet and soft and spirit. And soon he turns away from his dear little wife. That's where they lie away. Trying to get a new car. Trying to get a new home. I tell you, women, I wouldn't do that. I'd wake up, I'd say no, no, no. 1,000 times no. If you can't take care of me, then I don't need you. Amen. You say that's hard.
Amen.
That's the truth of God's word. He said, let that woman guard the house. Let him bear children. Give no occasion to the adversary.
Amen.
Just turn aside and speak reproachfully. Said they'll become idle and wander out from house to house being talebearers. All right, listen. He says here, he says there'll be a burning. There'll be heartburns. There'll be stomach burns. There'll be cancer. There'll be TB. There'll be all these things, he said. Because you reject God. Somebody said, well, I believe, Brother Pike, that a woman has just as much right as a man. A woman has just as much right as a man if she'll stay in a woman's place. In her place, she has just as much right as the man had. And we see the equality of men and women in this day. And what God is showing, the woman is demanding her rights. She wants to be equal with a man, and I guarantee you, according to Revelation, she's going to get equal with a man in this world. She's going to find her equality, but the devil ain't going to stop there. He's going to make her to rule over man. The Bible says so. She's already doing it through a deceitfulness now. She knows just how to maneuver things to get control of them in the home, on the job, wherever she wants to be. She acts like a little humble thing that just wouldn't do nothing, but she's as poisonous as a snake unless she's born of God. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. She's cunning, she's sharp. Man, she's wise like a serpent. That's right. They tell me a woman's called to preach. Paul said, let the women keep silence, he said. Let them learn in silence. It's not permitted unto them to speak. But they're commanded to be unto thieves, he said. He said, and let them dress as the women of all dress. And let them adorn themselves as the women of all adorn themselves. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I just can't find a decent dress at the store anymore. Well, bless your heart, go somewhere and buy a sewing machine and you can get rich making homeless dresses. That's right. We've got such a need of them in the land. If the people are honest and sincere and they say they are and want to dress holy, you'll get rich overnight. You can leave all your other jobs and do that one job at home. Raise your family, I'll tell you, you'll make a fortune. That's right. Old time mothers used to have to make them on the sewing machine. Said, dress like they dress. If that's what it takes, for goodness sakes, go back there.
Amen.
Go back there. All right, he says here, I want you to turn over with me, over to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. I'm going to close out here just a little bit now. Just before you do, listen just a minute. I just want you to notice here. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. Now he said when all these things start to take place, he said the church is going to be glorified. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Now, if you can escape the pollution of this world, Peter spoke of escaping the pollution of this world, the corruption that's in it by lust. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Now, there won't be a whole lot of them in there. He said, few there be that find it. All of them go to wander away and say, that's too hard for me. That's too strength for me. That's too strict for me. And then, did you know that the angels of God are plucking up right now?
Amen.
Now, I'll send my angels in the last days, and they'll come with a message of judgment. He said, in every plant my heavenly Father is not planted shall be plucked up. Shout like a man told me out in Denver, Colorado. He said, if I preach the message that you preach, he said, half my people will leave.
I said, brother, what do you think God's trying to do?
Draw a crowd. Well, if he wanted to draw a crowd, he just reached down and get the world anyway.
That's right.
He said, separate the wheat from the chaff.
Amen.
He's plucking up. He's getting them out. Why? He wants to take them out. Purge out the old leaven, be a new lump. Leave alone, let them grow in the world. He said, and what I have left in there, so the trees of God will be so few a child can number them. Your little child will be able to count the number of them, 7 acres. And then he said here, he said, but they'll be called holy. He said, they'll be pure. They'll be living up to the word. Everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem will be called holy. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion by the washing of the water of the word, and shall have cleansed the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud, that's glory, and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shelter in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain.
Amen.
Then he said, I'll sing to my beloved.
Praise
the Lord. What I want to say, I'll sing to my beloved. Turn over to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. We'll come to closing in just a few minutes. Bear with me, folks, here. I promise you, I won't hold you too long. You'll be glad. Just stay with me. Let's take a little while. In 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. I want to point out some things here. I brought some of them out last night. The Bible said the woman, you remember what I said about her eating her own children. The Bible said that she'd eat her own children, they that comes out from between her feet. He said because she had done such evil and said that she would not adventure to set. Said this delicate woman, that is. This delicate woman, you know, she's got to dress like the world dresses. Said she's so delicate. Said she would not adventure to set the sole of her feet upon the ground. That's right. All right, and listen to what he says here. In the 28th chapter, said, it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. They're talking about a nation. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle. And he goes on down, saying, blessed, blessed, blessed. But he went on down and he said, but if you fail to keep the commandments of the Lord, he said, cursed shall thou be in the city. There'll be sirens humming up and down your streets, he said. They'll be taking the dead off the street. The buildings will be burning up. Like I've mentioned a number of times over here in the Wyckoff Hotel many years ago, when that great fire broke out in Atlanta, Georgia, my wife had schoolmates that was burning in it. I talked to a man that had a daughter that burned to death and was prosperous, a wealthy man, but his daughter burned to death. There, why? He said, cursed shall thou be in my city. Cursed shall thou be, he said, in my city. I said, if you fail to do these things, I command this day, and all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then he said, cursed shall be thy basket. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. You'll put them in paralysis. I mean in braces. They'll have paralysis. You'll put them in the insane asylums. That's right. There will be mental illness. He said, cursed shall be thy children, which is the fruit of thy body. Cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do. Until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. He said you wouldn't be able to get in touch with God. He said the heavens would be grass on you. And he goes on down and said, the Lord will smite thee with the box of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with a scab, and with an itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind grope it, in darkness. Listen on down here. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. A miracle, rotten, filthy! One man gets engaged to a girl, and another man defiles her. He said, your own wife. Case here, not so very long ago, man came home from his job, and the woman and the man both were outstanding people in the community, but he found his wife degraded. I know of a case that even the man doesn't know it yet. Preachers find out things that even the husband doesn't find out. I know a man right there that his own brother has taken a time with his wife, and the man doesn't even know anything about it. That's right, because a man that will live for God. And he says here, set the tender, delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of a foot upon the ground for delicateness. And tenderness her eyes shall be evil to water. The husband of her bosom to water her son, and to water her daughter, and to water the young one that cometh out from between her feet, and to water children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things, secretly in the seed and straightness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. What is it? The Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Listen to this one. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. I'll leave you few in number, he said. Give your trembling heart and failing eyes, he says here. Find no rest to the sole of your foot, he said. He said, and thy lives shall hang in doubt before thee, and they, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Be afraid you're going to die of cancer or something. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. That is, you just want to get some rest. At evening thou shalt say, oh God, when will the day come? Would God it were even. No rest, he said. The veil will be too short for you. So forth and on. Now notice this. Come time here, find a place to close out. Said, the stranger will get up above thee. He said, but thou shalt be brought down real low. Then he said, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. He said, you just won't praise God, you won't love God, you won't obey the word, and won't serve him with joy. He said, all of these things come to mind. Folks, we're living in a dreadful time. It is a dreadful time. We're living in a dreadful time. How many remember Jezebel of the Old Testament? When Jehu came in, she painted herself up. I want to say just a few more things. She painted herself up, tried to overthrow Jehu. She painted her face up, but God fed her to the dogs. And I'll tell you, every woman that paints herself up will be fed to the dogs. Jesus called these people dogs out here in the world. And they'll devour you with their lust, and they'll devour you with their cravings and desire, you'll be devoured with the dogs. That's right. That's right. Now then, remember one thing, that a woman has a place, and she's got to stay in that place. And her place is at home to guide the house. That's her place. Her place is to dress home. Her place is to be obedient to her husband. That's right. Her place is to be humble, sweet, kind, submissive. That's right. Obeying her husband or her Lord in all things. The Bible says so. Now, will you stand with me? I want to ask you something. Have you ever noticed people that paint their fingernails and toenails? This might be a little shocking to you. But everything in this world represents something spiritually. In the first place, God had a reason for putting something on our fingers and toes and calling them nails. When you paint your fingernails the way that you paint, you make them blood red. Sometimes your toenails too. It signifies the nails that went into the hands of Jesus and into the feet of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to listen to me. It signifies the blood stains. When you rub the rouge on your feet and you put paint on your lips, it's a symbol of the great harlot of Revelation, where it says she is drunk off the blood of the martyrs. That's right. That's what it's a type of, the whorish church, where you drink the blood of the martyrs. That's right. In your cheeks are flesh and blood. I tell you, we could go on and on speaking of these things. But remember, God has put a harlot church out there. He's put a harlot church out there in type, shadows, and outdoors for you to see. And then he's put a virtuous church here. A holy woman, a righteous woman, a woman that's pure, upright, raises the children, looks to her husband, fathers after her husband. Now then, church member, you listen to me tonight. If you don't obey God and walk upright before God, and if you don't love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body, keep His commandments, let the Spirit of God lead you into all the truths of God's Word. You are a whore. You're a spiritual whore. And you're represented by that woman that's polluted and walking up and down the street doing things. That's what you are. That's what you are in the sight of God. But them that are good and obedient shall eat the good land. But the soul will be power against. Now, how many of you understand what I'm saying? How many of you know that the woman that wears those petal bushes, you might have read it over here in the little tract that my wife put out. How many of you know that all that started at the prisons, cutting their hair off and all because they didn't have time to mess with them? How many of you know that's a type of being in prison? Spiritual prison when you cut your hair off. When you wear those garments, it's a type of being in prison. Sure it is. That's what it is. All right, let's bow our heads together. Father, we're thankful tonight for your word. Thankful for your spirit. Lord, we ask you to be with us today and deliver us. Cause us, Lord, to be blessed, that we might be blessed in everything that we might do, and that it might be well with us and our children all the days of our life. Give us now your love. Give us now your blessings. Be with us, Jesus, in heaven. Let me have a good time with you. I preached hard to you tonight about the place of a woman. Told you what the Bible said had to be done. And now, I want you to listen to this, holy women. When I say this, the Bible said it shall be well with you. It shall be well with you. If you are a holy woman, the Bible speaks so highly of you. It says a virtuous woman's prize is far beyond that of Reuben's. One virtuous church in the land, God treasures it far beyond that of Reuben's. He said, if anything have any virtue in them, you think on these. Thank all these. If you are a holy, virtuous woman, then you're the crown of your husband's head.
Amen.
God loves you. He will bless you. He will lead you and He will help you. He will make all of your beds in your sickness. He will stand with you in the time of your trouble. And He will treat you like you was a jewel, because
Amen.
He said your price is beyond that of jewel. Praise God. So may the Lord bless you, for it shall be well with you. But if you are not a righteous woman, He said, you are rottenness to your husband's bones. Amen. The Bible said the sons of God shall marry thee as a man taketh to himself a wife. So when the sons of God deliver the seed of the word to you, don't be rottenness in his bones. Bear and travail for the sake of God. As the minister said one time, sheep beget sheep. So you sheep go out and beget some sheep.
Amen.
Bring some sheep in. Tell them to come into the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And the minister will feed them the word of God. He gives himself a generous to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Peter said, it's not meet that you should leave the word. Word of God and says, hey, you preach. So you stay with the Word of God and God will bless you, Brother John.
Would you bring the Word of God to your heart?
You believe, because someday you might be down and need somebody to believe for you.
Oh, wow.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, this evil power, Lord, that has attacked the little Philip, I believe in the name of the Lord that you're going to heal him. Cause this fever to leave. Cause this cold to leave. Move it, Lord. We ask in faith, believing. You said that this is our confidence in you, that if we ask anything, Lord, according to your will, we know you hear us. And Father, if we know that you hear us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of you. And Father, you said it was your will that we should prosper in it. That would be well with our children, Lord, all the days of their life. Heal this little baby. Praise God, I believe he does. Don't you want it to be well with you and your children all the days of your life?
I
do. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, we want you to touch our sister tonight. Break every yoke, Jesus. Move every discouragement tonight. And Lord, this habit that's binding her, Lord, that's causing her to be grieved, I come against it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Move this thing, Father. Lord, that keeps her under condemnation and casts her down. Father, you gave me deliverance over it, and you can give her deliverance over it too. Move it by your power and by your spirit tonight. Grant it, Lord. Heal her body. Break every yoke. Help her to believe right now. Help her to lift her faith up. Help her to believe in your mercy. Your grace is new every day, Lord. Your mercy is new every day. Grant it. Grant it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Thou unclean spirit, the Lord rebuke thee. In the name of Jesus, right now. Praise God. I feel the anointing breaking the yoke right now. Right now, Lord. Hear from heaven and heal our hearts. Grant it. Satan, you're alive. You are alive. In the name of Jesus, we speak deliverance to this person right now. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I felt him break the yoke, thank you. Let him bless you. He kept lying to you. He kept cowering your faith down, saying it wasn't true. It wasn't true. But he's a liar. Father, in the name of Jesus, as these people stand before me and their spirit witnesses to me tonight, Father, that I hear your voice and I see the thoughts of their heart and perceive the thoughts of their heart in the spirit, Lord. Father, I hear the voice of Satan discouraging them and talking with them. I come against him tonight in the name of Jesus. Satan, we are not afraid of thee. We've met thee on every battlefront, and we're not afraid of thee. And I charge you in the name of Jesus to break your heart. Loose these people right now in the name of Jesus. Grab it, Lord. Amen. The Bible said resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's right. He will flee from you. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch my sister tonight. Heal her body. Drive the unclean spirits out, Jesus. Make her whole and make her a blessing for thee. Grant it, Lord. Lift her faith up. Lord, grant it tonight. Hear from heaven. Lord, we ask you to encourage your faith, though she's young, Lord. You're able to do it. Father, move by your spirit. Help her to believe right now. Help her to lift up her faith right now. Hear, Lord, inspire. No, pour out your spirit upon her, that her faith might be inspired. Grant it. Praise God in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.